We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. We'll be breaking down IU's win over Florida International on Saturday, a 38-28 win over the Golden Panthers. We'll also be previewing IU's upcoming game on Saturday against the Virginia Cavaliers, a rematch from last year that took place in Charlottesville. So we'll touch on that. We'll touch on some injury stuff. We'll touch on how we thought they did at Florida International and give our grades, players of the week, things we want to watch for this week, things that need to be improved, all of the above on this week's show of the Hoosier Huddle podcast. All right, we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, I hope you enjoyed your birthday weekend, a long weekend. How are you doing?
Yeah, 1 year older, and I'm sure with the IU football season underway, I will feel like I aged 10 years. They have a way of doing that, too. You know, it was great to have college football back. A lot of exciting games, a lot of very interesting games. An Indiana victory. You know, it's always hard to know what to make of week one. You know, we analyze things for, you know, 8-9 months and then tend to throw a lot of that analysis right out the window and just go off of 1 week's of results. And that's often unwise, but it's really hard to do. It's just hard not to overreact in 1 week. And, you know, we'll talk about Indiana's win over FIU, and then we'll get into their matchup here against Virginia. Certainly a lot of interesting things happened on Saturday night in Miami. So we'll get going with that.
Yeah, I thought the win, it was a solid win over FIU. I thought FIU was a little bit better than I expected offensively. You know, I was curious not to see Christian Alexander finish that game. He didn't go out with an injury. I think that was the plan. James Morgan just looked like it looked like FIU was better with Christian Alexander running the ball, running the offense with James Morgan there. Late in the game, they got methodical drives down the field, took too long to score. I thought this game was in the bag at 35-14, which was about midway through the third quarter. And I think on the last two FIU scoring drives, they ate up like 10 or 11 minutes of clock, which I'm okay with. You know, if you're up 21 points,
aided by penalties.
Yeah, aided by some penalties, some bad calls, some obvious calls, but, you know, things that are fixable. And I think, you know, all those missed assignments, some of those you saw, it wasn't Jalen Williams, Cam Jones missed a fit on that long run. Those are all correctable things.
Yeah.
How you played 17 players had played in their first collegiate game down there. The rotations were big, stuff like that. So I think that played into maybe some fans thinking that maybe this IU team isn't great, but, you know, going down on the road, being a good start to the season. Anytime you can get a win on the road in college football, no matter who the opponent is, it's pretty big. I thought IU's offense played pretty well. Donovan Hale had a breakout party, although, you know, he didn't have the yardage numbers. He had 2 touchdowns, 60 yards receiving, I believe 5 catches or 4 catches. He had an awesome catch down the sideline on Michael Penix's throw. So that's Donovan Hale that we've all been waiting to see break out. So hopefully he can stay healthy. All that run game, it's going to take a
year with a torn ACL. He injured it. It looked like he injured it on a play on Peyton Hendershot's touchdown, carrying out a run fake, and he just got totally blown up. He limped off the field after that, could barely make it off the field, and never returned to the game. So the run game, I think Stevie Scott is a solid number two back, and we'll see if they can find the number one. If they have to get do it the old baseball style where you just get a whole bunch of number twos and hope somebody gets hot and you ride that hot hand. But I thought the run game overall was okay. 213 yards, 4.7 yards per carry, which were our goals for IU's offense to get that yard per carry average up. They used Wapfillier and Reese Taylor on jet sweeps. And the offense, to me, TJ, looked a little bit more complex than it did from a year ago.
I agree with that, and I think it was only a glimpse of what we're going to see with Cole Guest. And, of course, we feel terrible for him. And I know he was really looking forward to a big season, and that's certainly the crappy part about sports is, you know, guys that put their heart and soul into it and go down with something that's just a fluke. You cannot control an injury like that, and that sucks. But I think, I think we will see Indiana's offense have to be creative with how they get the run game going. It's going to have to require Reese Taylor, I think, getting the ball in his hands more, which is not a bad thing at all. I think it is going to require things like jet sweeps and, maybe some, some more RPO stuff, which we didn't see a ton of, but we did see some. I think it was pretty clear to me that Indiana was not pulling out everything. They didn't need to. To be honest, I thought the offense looked better than I thought it would in week one. I think both quarterbacks had a lot to be proud of with the way that they played. Peyton Ramsey was really sharp. He made one mistake that, Mike DeBoer said it wasn't a bad throw with the play that IU had and the coverage FIU had. I don't know about that. I mean, it looked like a pretty poor throw to me, but the result was certainly bad. We can say that for sure. But other than that, Ramsey was really good. It's clear that there's not the same level of, a downfield threat that you get with Penix, but, Ramsey showed he's really accurate, overall good decision-making. His arm strength has improved. It's still not quite where you'd love for it to be, but it was good, and he made plays with his legs as well. He's pretty smart on when he runs, so I thought he looked good, and Michael Penix, of course, very impressive in his first game action. So they looked good. I thought Donovan Hale looked good. Reese Taylor looks really exciting with the ball in his hands. And I think something that you have to take into consideration, Indiana rotated their offensive line, which is not going to be the norm, I don't think. I think they found out some things about who they can rely on and who maybe they can't. And they also, in an encouraging development for me, they salted that game away. It was 38-28. Indiana got the ball with over 6 minutes left and didn't give the ball back. They kept it for the remainder of the game, ended it on about the half-yard line. It was a bad beat for some if you had Indiana in the points, but that was encouraging that IU was able to salt that game away with Stevie Scott counting it on the ground and Peyton Ramsey and the Hoosiers, nothing explosive there in that last drive, but you didn't need it. You just needed to kill off the game, and that's what they did. So for me, that was really good for the offense to be able to do that and kind of grind down on opponents and just keep that game from getting interesting.
Yeah, I thought Peyton Ramsey played well. That one throw is not a good throw. He's stared down that receiver. It's obvious. You can see it from the end zone from where I was watching. But after that, he played pretty well. My only issue is they haven't stretched the field with him. That throw to Donovan Hale on the post was a great throw. He definitely improved his arm strength, but need to open up the vertical game if they're gonna get to six wins. This is a game where you need to open it up a little bit. They're probably a little bit more conservative against Florida International, but you saw what Michael Penix could do as well. I think they go forward with this two-quarterback system of starting Ramsey.
Yeah.
Ramsey gets the majority of snaps, and when you need a changeup, which is weird seeing that Michael Penix has the faster fastball, when you need that change of pace and changeup on offense, you see Penix come in. He could throw the ball. He did not look rattled at all. He looked very poised for 2-7. Playing his home state with his family friends in the crowd. So the only other thing I have is dude's got a spot. He took three big hits by Mike on Saturday night. Those are the hits that concern you because he has the ability to get through a season healthy, and you need him to be healthy to get those six wins, especially with the lack of depth that at quarterback. You don't want to go down to one scholarship quarterback if he does get hurt. I thought he ran the ball okay. There weren't many explosive plays out of the game for IU, but I did think that they ran the ball well. They just need to get – and they lost their most explosive running back. So we'll see what they do with explosive plays in the backfield. But, you know, we'll see who they replace Cole Guest with this week. Let's go – offensive player of the game, PJ?
I mean, it's tough because they spread things around so much. I think your candidates would be Peyton Ramsey and Donovan Hale, and I will give it to Donovan Hale. Number one, he had a couple of really nice catches with a big target in the red zone for the Hoosiers, which is very encouraging. They need to do that all season. Number two, that catch he made on the fourth and goal was a really good catch. Ramsey did not throw a perfect ball there. Donovan Hale made kind of a spinning catch on fourth and goal in the end zone to get Indiana a touchdown. And then number three, he was able to recover the onside. Again, Indiana showed really good balance. They spread that thing around quite a bit, which is encouraging. Hale's stats, not huge, but the plays that he made were very big ones.
Yeah, I agree on Donovan Hale, all the things you said. My defensive player of the game is Jonathan Crawford. He had four tackles, a big rotation on defense. So they didn't have the gaudy numbers like Sage Lewis had at 18 tackles. I don't know who was counting that, but that's a lot of tackles. They didn't put up the gaudy numbers, but he did force a fumble, had to pick six. Got off to a great start his senior season. The takeaways are what Indiana needs on defense to deal with some of these growing pains early on in the season. It's something they didn't do well last season, and getting three, they had, I believe, 13 all of last season, and to get three in game one is huge. Let's move on to Virginia, TJ. Virginia last week, they come in 1-0 after knocking off Richmond 42-13 in Charlottesville in a kind of a rain-delayed, soggy mess there in Virginia, but they looked a lot different on offense than they did a year ago. They have an explosive running quarterback in Bryce Perkins, ran for 108 yards, threw for 183. The guy could do it all. I don't like his arm as much as his feet. If IU takes away his feet and his running game, they should be okay. He threw a pick six on that first drive. The second drive, he should have had a ball intercepted. The guy dropped it. Next play, takes off 34-yard touchdown run. And after that, the rest is history, 42-13. Their offense, Jordan Ellis, is one of the running backs. He won ACC Running Back Week. Had 149 yards, a couple touchdowns. He's good. Zacchaeus has caught passes in 30 straight games, had over 100 yards rushing. It's the first time in Virginia history that they've had a 100-yard running quarterback, 100-yard running back, and 100-yard receiver in one game. So this is kind of a triple threat team. They're not, I don't want to say they're a think and dunk team because they're not. They're kind of that intermediate passing attack. They'll throw it, you know, between probably 8 and 15 yards. They'll go deep sometimes, but they're fast. They could make a guy miss and hit the end zone anywhere on the field. Big, big difference from last season on Virginia's offense.
It definitely is. I think that they were probably most encouraged by their running game. They're going to be a run-heavy team this year. Number one, I think that is the strength of their team is the ability of Perkins and Ellis to run the ball. Perkins is one of the better, if not the best, running quarterback IU is going to play this year. So it's going to be a challenge for the Hoosiers. I think they're going to have to rely on a spy at linebacker, which I'm not entirely sure, you know, who you trust with that role right now. Would it be a T.D. Roof? Would it be a Damian Willis, who sure tackler that I thought looked pretty fast?
I think you go with Marcelino.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think your option probably ends up being Marcelino Ball, since you're not particularly worried about losing him in pass coverage because of Virginia's, I won't say inability to throw, but I don't think that Perkins is near the threat throwing the ball that he is running. So I think you probably go Marcelino Ball, give him that task, and trust your guys to be able to defend with just the corners and safeties. I am a little bit worried about Indiana's run defense because of how it looked against FIU. Again, it was a big, big rotation that IU played. I don't think you're going to see near that much on this Saturday against Virginia. And at times, IU's defense was really good, but Tom Allen did recognize they just missed quite a few fits, which is just going to be your reads and where guys are supposed to go. And they missed quite a few of those in the first game, and that's got to get better because you missed them against Virginia. If you miss those against Virginia, you're going to have, you know, they'll turn those into huge plays. Perkins will really hurt you if you miss your fits. So you're worried about him, and then you're worried about Zacchaeus, very good receiver that they will use as a multi-purpose threat. They'll give him the ball in running situations. On sweeps, they'll give him the ball in kind of bubble screens. They'll give him the ball in slants, trying to do what they can to get the ball into his hands. So you're worried about him. Indiana's probably going to rotate defensive backs on him. I think Virginia's weakness on offense is they don't have a lot of playmakers outside of those three. So
correct. Joe Reed. Joe Reed, the nice receiver,
yeah, okay.
More of a threat on kickoffs. But he's a guy, again, that if you miss a read or miss a fit and he gets some space, he could take it to the house as well.
Yeah.
But outside of that, the depth really isn't there. IU should be able to outlast them if the game gets into that. But this is an offense that is explosive, and they'll score quickly. And we'll see what else they can do. And if IU can't stop the run, it's going to be a long night in Bloomington for the Hoosiers. On defense, let's talk defensive side of the ball for both teams. For Virginia, they returned a lot of talent. You know, Jordan Mack had 100 and some odd tackles last year. Juan Thornhill moved to safety. He's a big playmaker. They have some talent up front. Bryce Hall, Malcolm Cook, all that, that they got a couple takeaways last game. I think this is what this game comes down to are the takeaways. Can IU take the ball away, set up their offense at good field position, score some points, get that defense off the field, and get them some rest, get them some more coaching time on the sideline where they could be coached up to stop the run and all those things. And then on the other side, if IU gives up turnovers, gives the ball away, it just makes it that much easier for this offense to get in the rhythm, get that run game going, and find Zacchaeus in the passing game.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I would say for me, the big thing is going to be limit your big plays. I personally don't think Virginia has the capability to kind of methodically work their way down the field, and I use defense all that often. I think that they, if they are to win this game, it's going to be because of big plays. Big plays from Perkins with his legs, or a deep pass to Zacchaeus, you know, or a slant that he breaks the tackle and gets into space, or Ellis breaking off a big run. So eliminating those big plays and IU finding a way to get some big plays of their own, I think that's going to be critical for both sides. Definitely something I'm going to be watching out for is it's the special teams play. I know I'm taking one from your playbook here. Virginia's was a little shaky on Saturday. I thought Indiana's was very solid, nothing special, but you know, for having as many questions in the kicking game as IU did, I thought it was pretty darn good against FIU. Kickoffs were darn near perfect, really. Indiana hit their one field goal attempt, had no problem with extra points. So, you know, I think, you know, the returns were pretty much non-existent. So I'd say Indiana had a pretty solid effort in special teams in the opener. Virginia's was a little shaky, nothing disastrous, but a little shaky. And it's an area that maybe Indiana's able to continue to excel at, building the momentum maybe they took for week one.
Yeah, I thought special teams is a pleasant surprise. The kickoff, I thought Smoller looked good.
Yeah.
I had more leg strength than I thought. Logan Justice hit his lone field goal, had more consistency on extra points. I thought Jayshon Harris was a stretchy T-shirt away from having a big return on his lone punt return. It looked like he had a hole. A guy had a grab, had a hold of his shirt, and it was like dragging a weight through the mud. He just couldn't hit that hole. Got 6 yards, not a bad return. Had a couple fair catches as well. Kickoff return, Brian Fitzgerald had the lone kickoff return. Probably should have taken the knee. And got that ball out at the 25-yard line. One thing we never saw was a team fair catching the ball inside the 25 for a touchback. So we'll see how that plays out this week. I thought Hayden Whitehead struggled with the wind. There was a big headwind coming out of the east, and it just played tricks on the kickers all day. Once it's a short, small stadium, once that ball got above the stands, that wind was blowing pretty hard, knocked that one punt down, where it looked like, you know, last year he put that inside 15, and then the punt that went for a touchback got caught up in the wind and got blown an extra few yards. So I thought Whitehead struggled with that. There was one or two kickoffs that kind of got caught up in that wind too, hit a wall. But hopefully there's no ocean breeze in Bloomington on Saturday. So overall, I would say I was impressed with the special teams, and that should help. If IU plays their game in all three phases, they should walk out of Bloomington with a pretty comfortable win.
Yeah, I think overall, Florida International, you know, an opening night game at FIU, you know, I think it's probably an equal challenge to what Virginia is going to present if Indiana is able to execute as well as they did on offense. But I do think the offensive execution was pretty darn good considering all the variables that went into play in week one. You expect to jump up from both teams, Virginia and Indiana, in week two. You know, every team would expect to get better from one to two. So expecting that jump up and a little bit of improvement in the defense, a little bit of shortening of the rotation for Indiana along the, I guess, both lines, really. And I kind of feel like Indiana is going to play really well on Saturday. I'm expecting a good performance. I think it is a pretty good matchup for the Hoosiers because I feel like Virginia somewhat one-dimensional. I do not feel that you have to worry about the vertical passing game too much. You can't sell out, but I think you can kind of hedge toward playing the run. And I think Marcelino Ball is a really good player to match up as a spy. I think Indiana safeties match up well in terms of speed and athleticism with Virginia's receivers. I think the DBs, same thing. The big question for me is going to be IU's defensive line. They have to perform better than they did against FIU's run game. That's the big one. And that'll be kind of the matchup to watch for me is IU's defensive line against the running game of Virginia. But I feel like Indiana's going to play pretty well. And I hesitate to say this because it's always dangerous to be confident of anything real positive happening. But I do feel good about Indiana getting the 2-1 with the win. And I think IU's offense is going to be able to perform pretty well against this defense. I think IU puts up over 30 and gets a double-digit win.
All right, let's get to predictions. TJ, what is your prediction?
Yeah, so I'll go I'm going to go 31 to 20. Indiana gets somewhere in the range of 10 to 14 point win. I think it'll kind of feel similar to the FIU game where you don't feel like it's quite done. You can't, you can't quite, in my terms, it's okay. When can I write this? When can I write my game story? And I can't write it until I, feel very confident in the outcome. So I kind of know the slant and just kind of fill in the pertinent information. So for me, I was able to write that FIU game story once Indiana recovered that onside kick. But you felt confident in the actual outcome of the game, for most of that second half. And I think it is going to be kind of a game with a similar slant on Saturday night. It's not a blowout by any means, but it feels somewhat convincing. Indiana wins it 31-20.
I'm going to go along the same lines. I think Indiana's offense can score against this team. They'll get some special team scores, whether it's a field goal or maybe even a return touchdown. This team struggled in punt coverage last year. We'll see if Jay Sean can have a big day again as well. There, I'm going to go Indiana 34 and Virginia 24. 10-point win at home. I think Bryce Perkins has enough talent to make a few plays, but after a while, IU's defense could adjust, should adjust to stop that. So 34-24, you'll see a nice mix of Michael Penix and Peyton Ramsey, and, we'll see what the running back rotation is. That's the thing I'm looking forward to seeing is this play – Ricky Burns, Ronnie Walker, and maybe a couple of these walk-ons at good ball games as well to ease the pain of losing Cole Getz. So that's our predictions. I just want to remind people that the game day bingo, we're still waiting on a couple winners from last week. Send those in to me, and we'll see. We'll send out new cards this week. Be sure to play. You can print them out, take them to the game, save them, screenshot them on your phone, use the edit tool, circle, X, mark out, whatever. You can win some cool prizes from Vintage Brand. If you haven't checked them out, do check out the ad on our site, top of the page. Very easy. Just click it and it takes you there. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle and enjoy the rest of your week, TJ.
Absolutely, yeah. Football's be analyzing actual games that happened and previewing actual games that are going to happen. So, it'll be over all too quickly. So I hope everybody savors those college football Saturdays, soaks it up.
Yep. So Indiana's taking on Virginia. Kickoff is at 7:30 at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. I believe IU has put out the time the parking lot's open. It's either at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Too late, in my opinion. It should be open earlier for that, for the home opener. So we'll see. TV is on BTN. Of course, you could always listen to Don Fisher on the radio as well. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next Monday on the Hoosier Huddle podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.